You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Regional Development Minister Shane Jones has suggested to the local government forum that regional councils may be abolished, stating that after the upcoming changes to the Resource Management Act, he doubts that there is going to be a compelling case for regional government to continue to exist. Regional councils across Aotearoa are responsible for matters relating to natural resource management, flood control and biosecurity. Prime Minister Christopher Luxton said effectiveness between different councils is varied and that councils generate too much bureaucracy and are too focused on vanity projects. As well, in order to make the most of local and central investment into Auckland's growing city, the government is asking Auckland Council to increase the housing development allowance around key central rail link stations in the lead-up to the project's completion. Seeking to amend the Resource Management Act, the government hopes to increase housing height and density around Mount Albert and Baldwin Avenue stations, allowing upzoning of 10 stories around these areas, in addition to allowing upzoning of 15 stories around Mungifo, Morningside and Kingsland. I spoke with Councillor Julie Ferry about both of these topics, starting with the proposal to scrap regional councils. Do you think that Jones's assertion about the redundancy of regional councils paints an accurate picture?
I worry that central government doesn't really understand local government and regional government quite a lot. And I suspect this is a really good example, unfortunately, where regional government is generally included as part of local government. We just talk about central and local government, and that regional is included with local, right? And in Auckland, we have a unitary council. We don't have a separate regional council. But in practice, the role I do is regional. I'm empowered and elected. My mandate is to think regionally, even though I'm elected by a local ward. That said, in parts of New Zealand where they do have separate regional council, the bulk of the work that they do is in the environmental protection space. And I think that Minister Jones, who has a history for not being particularly interested in environmental regulation, I think that's really what he's getting at, is that he wants to see less environmental regulation, and regional councils are the ones in other parts of the country that primarily are focused on that. And so if you get rid of the regulator, you get rid of the regulations. I think that's probably really where he's coming from, and I think that shows a real lack of understanding of the importance of environmental regulation. So that's a really big worry, actually, because I think it's not about getting rid of regional councils and necessarily making sure their functions are done in other places. I think actually his motivation is probably more about making sure we don't do their work at all, which is absolutely vital and needs to be have that democratic oversight of people elected to do that work.
Do you think there's any way that the system of councils across Aotearoa could be improved in terms of efficiency and simplicity?
I think we've learnt from the super city that there can be. I was a real sceptic about the super city, but I think we've learnt that there can be some real benefits to working properly regionally, and we didn't really have the grunt we needed under the previous structure, which is the structure that applies in most of New Zealand now, to really solve particularly the transport issues. I think while we still have a lot of transport issues, I think having a really strong regional focus, albeit with some democratic deficiencies in the model because Auckland Transport's a CCO, I think we've been able to make a lot more progress in the transport space than we did previously. And I think that Wellington in particular have sort of been putting their hands up going, hey, we can see some benefits here for in the transport space for some level of amalgamation. So I'm not saying there's no benefit from amalgamation, but what you absolutely have to keep front and centre is that, you know, principle of localism, the principle of subsidiarity, as it's referred to in local government land, which is that decisions should be made at the lowest level possible. And I think that's where local boards for Auckland, which is a unique structure, giving them more power, more resources than community boards had, putting them more on the level of, say, a district council, has been a really important part of keeping localism alive. Sometimes it's just sort of clinging in there, but by and large the structure allows for that. So that would be my one sort of, I guess, thing of caution about amalgamation, is that local areas need to have strong local decision-making structures that can reflect and deliver for their communities, and any structure needs to ensure that. So, you might lose some economic efficiency in the short-term sense, but you will gain more trust and confidence in the local system of governance, which itself has bigger long-term economic benefits, better decision-making, less of people breaking the rules because they don't see them as having had a mandate or being legit. So, yeah, the idea of short-term efficiencies versus long-term gains, I think sometimes we focus on what's the rates rise next year, when actually we should be looking at the bigger picture of actually how do we make better long-term decisions, and amalgamation can go either way on that.
You mentioned before that regional councils are responsible for management of, like, environmental management and natural resources and that kind of thing. Could you talk a bit more about how this proposal, if it were to go ahead, would impact those services or those decision-making processes, or maybe shift how that would look in New Zealand?
We don't really know yet as part of the problem. It's sort of being kicked around, and obviously Minister Jones is in New Zealand First, and the Minister for Local Government is actually a National Party minister. We don't know what ACT would think. It's all tied up with the Resource Management Act reforms as well, which is largely being overseen by a different government minister, Minister Bishop. So I think it's probably too soon to say what any proposals might do. My experience in Auckland is that in the first couple of terms, a lot of the work that had previously been done by the Regional Council, the Auckland Regional Council, actually fell through the cracks. And so quite a lot of the sort of environmental regulation stuff sort of got put to one side and dealt with sort of bureaucratically within the organisation, but actually didn't have the level of democratic oversight that it needed. And so, for example, a lot of the pest management work sort of ended up, rather than sitting with individual local boards who managed areas that had pest problems, you know, maybe they had a regional park in the area, it sort of sat more with the staff and didn't have a lot of bureaucratic oversight. And then we sort of had a period where we kind of, the staff did their best, but there wasn't that political buy-in, there wasn't that political vision, and it took a couple of terms before we sort of got back into that, and we lost quite a lot of momentum. And so that's the real risk, I think, of if you play around with that model without clearly saying, okay, this is where that function goes, this is where these decisions now move to, and they move immediately, and they have resources, and here's the structure, and here's how the public have a say in that, here's the consultation processes and things like that, then actually you lose that work and you lose some momentum. And with a lot of environmental regulation, losing focus means you go backwards, and then you have to make up that ground. It makes it even harder to protect our water, to protect our air, to protect our natural environment as well. So it's really critical to get that transition right.
I wanted to talk about another topic as well. Housing Minister Chris Bishop and Auckland Minister Simeon Brown said this week that they want to allow even greater housing and development around CRL stations, quote-unquote, ensuring that Auckland takes economic advantage of this transformational investment in the city. Does the government's ambition for the increased housing intensification cohere with the council's existing vision and discussion around planning for growth relating to the City Rail Link in Auckland?
So Auckland Council has a general sort of policy that's mostly in line with what's called a compact city model. It's not entirely in line with that. We still allow for building out on the outskirts, but by and large we are heading in a direction of encouraging more housing to be closer to the city centre where there's work and education and services and things, closer to, and when I say closer, I mean, you know, within 20 kilometres, I don't mean right all in the city centre. And this proposal is in line with that, that we increase the amount of housing supply and the different types of housing that you can get as well, that is close to the city centre, that is close to major town centres, that is close to rapid transit networks, so the rail lines obviously, and you know, major arterial routes like, say, Dominion Road, Sandringham Road, Mount Eden Road, Great South Road, Great North Road, New North Road, all of those, right? A lot of which run through the area that I represent. So that has huge benefits, partly because we know there's a whole lot of economics around the benefits of cities and what's called agglomeration, having people and services and workplaces and all that kind of stuff close together. But also it massively has an impact on carbon emissions. So having people not having to travel as far, being able to live in ways where they don't have to own a private car to be able to participate, they can use public or active transport modes, all of those things reduce carbon emissions, which is the number one thing we can do as a city, is to make that transport shift to reducing our carbon emissions in terms of climate action. For me, going up around those major transport, those major stations in the inner west is a no-brainer. We should also, though, be looking to go up around the train stations in the inner east as well. And so I'm looking forward to the conversation about Orake and Meadowbank at Remuera stations as well. And we also, with those, Kingsland, Morningside, Mount Albert, Mount Eden, Mangafo stations, we also need to think about how do we find a balance there, because there's some specific character in those neighbourhoods, and I think people want to live there, right? Which means, you know, more housing there will be something people want so that they can live there, but also how do we help those town centres to maintain their local character and grow and create sort of the heritage of the future, as well as looking to, you know, honour the past. There's going to be a balance that needs to be met.
Has anyone raised, or are there any potential challenges or concerns you foresee for these areas, especially coming from the public as a result of this upscaling of building heights?
I've had a mixture, really. So I have had a couple of emails from people, including a local residents association, expressing concern, and what they're looking for is that, how do we maintain existing character? But I've also seen on Facebook, I'm in all the local Facebook community groups, there's over 30 of them. I can't keep an eye on all of them closely, but I have seen a lot of people posting about this stuff, about, you know, going up to 15 stories around these train stations. And a lot of the comments have actually been really supportive. So I think it's going to be a really interesting public conversation to have. The reality is that if central government tells council we have to do this, we have to do this. So there's not necessarily going to be a lot of nuance to it. But what I'm really interested in is how we can, as a council, help locals to be involved in, okay, how do we come up with a local plan for that area that balances those different needs, that allows for the future growth, that makes sure we have the libraries and the open spaces and the retail areas and the hospitality, as well as the housing, that all makes a really cool, vibrant neighbourhood. I was really lucky to be involved in a project like that in Three Kings when I was on the local board. And the housing is starting to be sold in that area in Three Kings. But I've also had some involvement with some Kāinga Ora redevelopments, and where they've done major neighbourhood redevelopments, some of which are unfortunately now indefinitely paused, where again the community involvement and saying, hey, we know growth and change is coming, we know that it needs to happen, we know that we need more housing in our community. How do we as a community have a say in where that is, what that looks like, and making sure that the people who are going to live here, who become part of our neighbourhood, have access to open space, have good public transport links, can walk through our community so we don't have gates and we're not split off from each other. So that for me is the real opportunity I see for local government. If central government's going to tell us you've got to do this anyway, then our role is going to be, okay, how do we do this best? And I'm looking forward to that.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.